Psalm 119 and verse 71. Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Sometimes the Christian life is described as a school or a college or a university. And there is a lot of justification for that description. That being a Christian is being in the school of Jesus Christ. It is not a static situation where once in you just take your place and you remain in the same place at the same level for the rest of your life until God takes you to heaven. It is like a school of Christ, where there is progress, where there is work being done in us and on us, where we are being changed, where we are being educated in the things of Christ, and where we are being fed on Christ himself. And that is really the kind of thing we're going to look at tonight. Something of the school of Jesus Christ. Here is a man who knows something about the school of Jesus Christ. When he says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted," verse 71. Now, David had many afflictions in his life. He was a man after God's own heart, and far from perfect, and he was never without trial. It seems to have been an almost constant thing in his life. And the Psalms particularly express much of that trial. And they also, by the same token, express to us what we want to express about ourselves. The Psalms enable us to put words on our own thoughts. And they so effectively feed into our prayers. We use the Word of God to pray to God. But what we find in David's life, taking his life as a whole, is very much a picture of a life being sanctified by the effects of affliction. And just a few points about the life of David, his afflictions. He was for so long a fugitive, unjustly fleeing from Saul. Saul trying to kill him. And he had done nothing to give Saul a reason for wanting to kill him. It was just jealousy and really nothing more. And all the time, David refuses every opportunity to take vengeance upon Saul. He had some golden opportunities to take vengeance upon him, but he absolutely refused to do that. And yet, the pursuit continued. He continued being a fugitive. And in Psalm 57, we have these words, "In the shadow of thy wings, I will make my refuge until these sad calamities be overpast. Hunted like a partridge on the mountains," as he says himself, God's anointed king of Israel, a fugitive. Secondly, there was, in the life of David, the trial of pain of conscience. Yes, he sinned, and he sinned grievously, and he grievously compounded his sin. And he had this pain of conscience, which we all have to some extent. There is no human being, no sinner, who does not know something of the pain of conscience. We all have regrets. We all have guilt about certain things. David fell into grievous sin, and his conscience was pained. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, he says. Yes, he had sinned against Bathsheba, he had sinned against Uriah, but above all these things, he had sinned against God. That is where conscience really smarts. But it's strange how, especially in David's case, and often in our own case, how God can use our sin to draw us nearer to himself. It was David's sin that led to Psalm 51. Surely nobody could be nearer to God than the man who wrote that hymn, that psalm, at that time. Now, thirdly, there was the indescribably sad picture we have of David fleeing from Jerusalem, having been king, and fleeing because of the betrayal of his own son, the wicked, wicked betrayal of him by Absalom, his own son, leaving there such a sorry figure, a most pathetic sight, the king of Israel in such a state. His own son had turned the hearts of the people against him. In an underhand, an undercover way, he just gradually subverted his father, so that now his father has to flee the city. He says that he covered his head because of his shame, and that he wept as he went, as he came down the hill from Jerusalem, over the brook Kidron, climbed up Olivet on the other side, and barefoot. What a pathetic sight. Even though he had hope that he would, that God would return him to Jerusalem. Then there is the affliction, the sadness of the death of his son Absalom. Yes, Absalom was a traitor of the worst kind. But at this point, David could only see him as his son. There are few things harder than the death of a child. His mourning expressed his pain. Absalom, my son, Absalom. Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son. My son. Affliction, pain of heart, grief, all adding to the trial. Then he is restored to Jerusalem. And then one thing that he hoped he would do before his death, given some years of peace, when the peace came, that he was not allowed to carry through his ambition, and that was to build the temple. God said, no, you will not build a temple for me. And yet, having said all these things, David triumphed over his afflictions. And he is a lesson to us of someone who has been through the school of Jesus Christ. After it is all over, David pens these words. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. There's only one thing we can say, and we have to say about these words, that they are the words of someone who has advanced in the Christian faith. Someone who has been through the school of Jesus Christ, which is very largely a school of affliction. It's through affliction that he teaches us mainly. And there again in verse 57 of the same psalm, we have these words. Verse 67, sorry, of the same psalm. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I kept thy law. There's not a hint here of resentment for his afflictions. All that is gone, and there is nothing but appreciation of his afflictions. It is good for me. From my present vantage point, looking on my life, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. So, just a few points on that. On the verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went, no, but on verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Notice, it is not, it was good for me that I was afflicted. It's not that. It is emphatically different from that. It is good for me that I was afflicted. David is not saying that when he was afflicted, that he was saying to himself, oh, this is good for me. No, he's not saying that. And he wouldn't have said that. Nobody would say that right in the middle of affliction. But it's when we look back and we've been through the school of Jesus Christ and we look back from a different stance, a different understanding of our pilgrimage in this life, we look back and we say, yes, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. You know, there is a tremendous victory in anybody being able to say that. That is just such a victory for the believer to be able to say that. No one is glad of affliction. When Paul said that we glory in tribulations also, as he says in Romans 5, does not mean that we glory in these tribulations at the time that we're going through them. Because and then they are nothing to us but pain and agony. But once we continue on the course, once we continue in the school and get perhaps nearer the end of our school session in the school of Christ, and then we look back and we say, ah, yes, it is good for me. Now I can see that it is good for me that I was afflicted. I now reap the benefit. Yes, it was sore at the time, but now I reap the benefit. Now that experience is not peculiar to David. I believe that it is an experience which is in the life of every believer. Unless they are completely dull to their own lives, and to an understanding of their own lives, unless so, then they will have something of this experience in their lives. Nobody welcomes affliction. But when we look back, we realize that it is good. Good for me now that I had to go through that. That God put me through that affliction, whatever it may be. Then secondly, the psalmist says, it is good for me, it is good for me that I was afflicted. Good for me, because I can see that these afflictions have saved me from many dangers. That they closed off many dangers, many hazards, many trapdoors that were waiting for me. How does affliction do that? Does so, for a start, quite simply, by filling us with sorrow and with grief. And very often, that saves us from many dangers which would otherwise be open if we were absolutely carefree in this world. We might say, well, it was good for me because it humbled me. I often say that I believe that sanctification is very, very much about being humbled. Like Job, to the point where he said, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Afflictions can humble just at that very point where there is a danger of being blown up with pride. What a danger that is. How good for us is anything that saves us from being inflated, being blown up with pride. Then it can have the effect of weakening us. Do we need to be weakened? Yes, we do. If we are ever going to be strong in the Lord, then we must be weakened. As Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Weakened to the point of having to abandon all self-reliance and to lean entirely upon God for every moment of our lives. So true it is that a time of self-reliance, when we think we're doing good in self-reliance, is a time of the greatest danger to us spiritually. We are safest when we are weakest and more reliant upon God. Now it is a massive step forward when the Christian sees all these things working for his ultimate good. And thirdly, notice what he says in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but Now I have kept thy word. I don't think this is necessarily falling into open sin, as was in the life of David. I don't think it necessarily, even in David's case, has a particular reference to that sin. But there is something here which is generally applicable. Going astray. Hardly the word to describe David's sin. But it's a very good description of us sailing a little bit too close to the world. A great danger when we allow ourselves to drift too close to the world. Safest place for us is at a distance from the world and close to God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Then fourthly, there is affliction in the life of the believer. I think it is definite that there will be affliction in the life of every true believer at some time. Some many believers have a continuing affliction and continual sorrow. For some, when the disaster comes, it's not something that's going to pass off quickly, but which will be with us for a long time to come. But affliction in this life, the affliction of the Christian, is God sending us into the school of Christ. He must send us to that school. He will not send us to that school until he knows that we are ready. It is rare for him to send an immature Christian to that school. I know it does happen. But he will not send us until he knows that we are ready, or until he knows that we are ripe for it in terms of the way our life is going. Whatever that may be, there may be something drift, some direction, which needs to be arrested, needs to be stopped. The Lord in his love sends us into the school of Christ. In that school, there are stages of progress, as there are stages of dealing with affliction. First of all, of course, there is the pain and the suffering. And then there is the being enabled to cope with that affliction. Then there is the accepting of it as the Lord's will. But we have to go further than that. We have to learn that it is necessary for us. God will not give us anything in that school more than what is necessary for us. That's the biggest step of all. And then, of course, there's being at peace with God in every single aspect of it. Through all these things, to be at peace with him. Truly the final exam, the final test is this. What we see in tonight's text in David. Looking back and seeing that it was good for us. It is good. Not it was good at the time. But now it is good for me. That I was afflicted. That is almost like graduation day. when the Christian is enabled to look on his afflictions in that way. I'm not saying that his sanctification is finished. It'll never be finished until he passes out of this life. And yet there is a tremendous step here. Like it is, I can't help suggesting that it is like a graduation. It is good for me. I affirm with certainty and with confidence and without embarrassment, I affirm before men that I look back on my trials and I can say in all honesty, it is good for me that I was afflicted. Our gracious God, we thank thee for the wonderful richness of thy world. We thank thee that thou hast built into it all that we need. Thou hast left nothing unprovided for of all our needs. And that includes all our afflictions. We know from thy word that thou dost chasten those whom thou lovest. And that those that are chastened are thy true children. So, Lord, wilt thou teach us, take us through thy school. Take us through, Lord, to the end. And wilt thou keep us and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.